This is The Heat Source, the podcast where we learn everything we can about hot sauce, one bottle at a time. We are your hosts, Mike and Matt, and today we're trying That's What Shishito Said by Down to Ferment and Thai Fire by Bottle Fed Hot Sauce. Let's heat up. Welcome back to The Heat Source, where we learn about new sauces weekly, one bottle at a time. We are recording this before the Illinois show, but this is our first regular episode after the Illinois show. So what did you think of it?
Super awesome.
Yeah, amazing.
Excellent.
But we are trying a couple sauce makers that we actually tried back in June for the first time, and they have some new releases that we wanted to get some reviews in early while they're newer sauces. We have Down to Ferment. That's What Shishito Said. I messed that up so many times in the intro. And Bottle Fed Hot Sauce's Thai Fire. So both of these sauces, I think within the last month, have been released. They were sent out to us by the makers. And Down to Ferment actually sent us also a refill of the Umami Bomb seasoning, which I love dearly. And I gave this one to you to try to enjoy because I feel like you and Courtney will... I don't think that will last 30 to 45 days, maybe, because it is a good...
I don't think I tried the original batch. It looks good.
I don't think you tried the first one, because I got that one because I was very interested to try, and then I just used it nonstop.
Yeah.
It's a great fermented garlic, as a porcini mushroom. It has, you know, the salt and pepper. It is a seasoning I could use on... almost anything.
Yeah. Well, we use a ton anything. Of seasoning too, so I think we'll probably blow through it.
But let's get into some of the details of this week. We have, again, this is after the Illinois show. When this comes out, we want to get into these sauces here. But first, we have to play our normal game. I'm going to name a person, and you're going to tell me if you think it's a sauce maker or if you think it's a basketball player, because your NBA knowledge is developing and progressing slowly as we play this game. You're reminded of how much you know about the Marlies. It's
extremely random and sporadic.
You understand now that Michael Jordan's teammate, James Worthy in college, is a great NBA player. And now we're going to ask you about Thad Garner.
Oh, Thaddeus.
Thad Garner. Not Tad Garner. Tad is my brother-in-law's name. Ted is my dad's name. That's confusing.
There's a Ted and a Tad?
There's a Ted and a Tad.
That's awesome.
There's a Tad of Ted. There's a Tad and a Ted.
I'm going to go with Sauce Maker.
So Thad Garner is the founder,
leading scorer
of Texas Pete's Hot Sauce.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. You're on a roll, man.
I am.
I don't know if the episodes come out in order to show this, but I'm pretty sure you've gotten at least like three or four in a row.
I think it's three or four.
Thad Garner, if he was an NBA player, he would have been like 50s, 60s.
Yeah.
Thad is not, I don't know when the last Thad made it to the NBA.
So I was reaching for my water. That's fine. About that quite a bit. I would love to have some sort of tracker that's like the oldest person named Sean, or like the oldest person named Thad, or the youngest person named Thad.
It's similar to when you think of like, there's certain names where people are like, oh, well, that person's never a baby. They're immediately like a 40-year-old soccer mom.
Yeah.
Like there's no Ruth. There's no baby Ruth. there's no.
I'm thinking Susan's right now. I don't
know. Carl.
I don't know any Susan's under 40 years old right now.
Carl. There's like somewhere it's like, it's oldish, but you know, yeah. I mean, if you go with the standards, it's pretty fine. But yeah, there's some unique ones where you're like, you're not a baby.
Yeah.
Like you're
there's not a Braxton over 7 years like old right now.
You're already complaining about your 401k and your 9-to-5 and, you know, the battle axe at home is, you know, causing you trouble while he's drinking a bottle of milk. All right. So great success on.
Thank you.
Borat, great success. But also, this is our other little, not a game. This is really just a collection of restaurants, and we get to talk food, which we always talk food. Unless you have a coupon, if someone were to say, hey, let's go to Subway, you're like, nah, I don't want to do Subway. I could think of 50 other places besides Subway that I would go to. What would be a place that you would pick?
Culver's.
Culver's. Yeah, Culver's a good one. Culver's is, so there's, not to list any other places, but like Checkers is one that my dad and I love. Mm-hmm. It's also Rally's at some, in some areas, but Checkers is one that we love. My mom and my sister, really any females in my life get sick because of how greasy it is, I'm assuming. Culver's is one where I'm equally like, if someone's like, oh, my stomach's uneasy, that one does it. Not because it's grease as much as butter.
Yeah.
Just the, like, and I always get the mushroom Swiss, which is also has just like, is oozing everything the meat
sauteed and butter. Yeah.
I love a good mushroom Swiss burger.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Angela doesn't like mushrooms. So anytime I can get mushrooms elsewhere.
I don't eat there a lot, but it is heavy when you do eat it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. So what we got through the game is actually pretty quick on here. So we're going to get into, that's what Shishido said. A kombucha hot sauce from Down to Ferment. Again, that's a San Diego based hot sauce company. We tried their anniversary sauce last month. It was a pretty hot one. That was a Carolina Reaper one. This one is the opposite. It's listed as a 0 out of 5 spice level. I'll read the description here. And if you're an Office fan, there'll be a couple hints at that. I declare deliciousness. This is DTF's first truly mild sauce. We managed to capture the amazing flavor profiles of roasted shishitos, yuzu citrus, fresh shiso, and the umami of miso, shiitake, and black garlic. It's a total mouthful of flavor. That's what she said. It's on the bottle. That's not me riffing. Use this sauce on sushi, dumplings, rice bowls, chicken, and tempura. I love dumplings and pot stickers and stuff like that, so I'm really excited to try that with this. But this has jalapeno peppers, roasted shishito peppers, kombucha culture, onions, garlic, ginger, shiitake mushrooms, white miso. I'm not as familiar with miso as I would like to be. Gluten-free tamari soy sauce and salt, sesame oil, black garlic, yuzu, shiso. And there you go. There's a lot of ingredients on there that I'm not as familiar with, which I'm excited about.
Did you ever watch Salt, Fat, Acid, and Heat?
No.
I should. It's on Netflix. It's really good.
Either you told me about that or I've heard on a podcast where I was like, I need to step my game up there.
Check that one out because they have a good segment in there on miso.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I know I believe it's in the Korean culture. I know gochujang was one I've seen on, there's a Try Guys YouTube channel where they have one of their members is Korean and he uses it in a lot of things. Like he made a gochujang spicy cookie. And he just throws it in a bunch of stuff where it's just these, suddenly it's like, oh, this is a nice, delicious birthday cake. Oh, it's spicy. Oh, it's hot. So there is some elements. I think one of the bagels at the downtown Grand Rapids Market's downtown bagel place, Rad Bagels, they have a gochujang bagel that was pretty good. It wasn't spicy, though, but it had good flavor.
Yeah.
All right. Let's try the seal. That was actually pretty amazing. I feel like with the new microphones, it is better audio quality for us, but I feel like it's missing something with some of these labels. We need like a third mic and just be like,
we do have that. Is that our designated peeler?
I don't know. But this one's got a nice dark green.
Have you ever had a
color to it?
Blistered shishito peppers?
Mm-mm.
They're really good. I'm excited to try this one. I think this is our first shishito sauce.
Smells amazing.
They are. Ooh, that smells really good. They call them the roulette pepper. So what you do is you get, mostly in Spain, it's like probably one of the most common tapas you get in Spain. You just get blistered shishito. So they just throw some olive oil, blister up these peppers, and then either like some really coarse flake salt, or some people will take like a, almost like a, an aioli.
Mm-hmm.
And you dip the peppers in the aioli and you just eat them. But they call them roulette peppers because they're really mild. It's like as mild as a green, like a bell pepper. But like maybe every 10th one, you take a bite of it and you're like, oh, that's like a medium jalapeno. Like usually too hot for most people. But
I love the smell of this. I smelled it like four or five times. I'm getting like the ginger and the mushroom and the garlic. I'm smelling those. You smell the pepper. It was a slow pour initially, and then I almost overflowed my spoon, so be gentle. Don't try to do the Heinz 57 on that one. It comes out fast. Very smooth consistency.
Gosh, that does smell good. There's a lot of flavors
in it. It's dangerous when it's more mild and it has this smell. And then once we try this, this could be one of those where it's like, hey, this lasted less shorter than the week of the episode.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, wow. I get the citrus.
Man, that is a deep flavor.
So initially I'm like,
it's like a meal in a bottle.
I'm like, oh, okay. It's a mild, you know, I'm getting the peppers, the mushroom, the ginger. I'm like, okay. And then it's like, oh wait, here's the next flavor. Here's the citrus. Here's the garlic.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Holy cow.
Yeah. This is very much in line. They mentioned a lot of Asian cuisine. Very, very good flavor for that. Like I'm imagining that I'm eating this on like, yeah, sushi or pot stickers or dumplings.
Yeah. Wow. As far as depth and layers of flavor,
mm-hmm.
this has got to be up there with one of the more layered, deep ones we've ever had.
This, along with Sam Sauce's Smoky J, are two sauces where I'm like, here's a hot sauce that, not hot. Like this one, I don't really get, it's 0 to 5. I don't really get any heat on this because of how well the flavors kind of just carry you on this journey and like get you to the different depths. You're just like zooming through the levels of this. You ever play Prince of Persia?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, you're just like in a dungeon. You're working through layers just trying to get to the top of the castle.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, okay, I'm trying the sauce, and I'm just working through the layers of the level.
Right.
There was also a Jake Gyllenhaal remake movie that was garbage, but the original side-scrolling was actually really violent. But there's, I don't know why I'm going on this tangent. But the layers, you're going through the layers, and that where you, if there is any heat, I'm going to have to try another spoonful here. Because if there was any heat, it is very minimal.
Yeah, definitely.
Which I'm not mad at. Again, people assume like, oh, you've got to have it be spicy. Like a hot sauce really just has to have peppers in it. It doesn't have a certain requirement of heat.
Yeah.
It does have some good salt to it.
It's very intense garlic in there. Not from like a woo.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Usually when you overflow, I make fun of you, but I'm just jealous now because that's going to be a good spoonful.
Save that one. It's got good garlic flavor, but it's not like the sharp, doesn't have the sharp bite of garlic. It just has very smooth garlic.
I think what throws me off on this from a hot sauce standpoint, and this isn't a bad thing, but throws me off on this, there is no vinegar in it. So I don't get, usually the vinegar, even if it's not the main thing that you're tasting, it'll have its presence known where it's like, you know, it's in the room. And this one, because there's no vinegar in it, you know, you have your kombucha that kind of takes over for that, but it lets you enjoy all these other flavors. Like it just, I'm looking at like this sauce as one where like if someone likes Asian cuisine and I'm like, oh, here, try this. They're like, oh, I don't like hot sauce. It's like, you have no idea what you're talking about. If you like Asian cuisine, you're going to be using this.
Yeah.
Dang.
That's super good. I like that.
This may be one of the better mild sauces when you look at flavor, aroma, and naming of the sauce.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's a good sauce. It tastes good. It smells good. But like we also use the Office pun and reference the Office with our logo on it on top of that. It's like, oh, okay. So you're also incorporating that I love. Cool. Mm-hmm. You want to do your fact first?
Yeah, I can do that. First time I ever had shishito peppers was in Spain.
Barcelona. I know, you were very excited when I texted you that. You're like, I've got a shishito story.
Oh, yeah. So the how I got there or how we got there, what we did, took a cab ride up to the top of this. It's essentially a mountain that overlooks Barcelona, Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And at the top, it's funny, there's this church. And then right next to it is like this really old amusement park. But like a mini amusement park, like one little roller coaster, little Ferris wheel, like a carousel in there. So it's funny. It's like you go up to this very scenic church. You go to church. Hey, everyone, let's hit the let's hit AJ's. It's a lot like AJ's in Grand Rapids here.
Yeah.
So we're up there. And then our friend that was with us, she gets really car sick. And the cabs are like, oh, you want to get there now? Sounds good. You know, and. You know, it's all switchbacks. She's like, I can't take a cab ride back down. I'm like, oh, it's no big deal. We'll walk.
Mm-hmm.
The road back to walk down to the restaurant we were going to go to was like a couple hour walk. It's already getting dark. We're like, there's got to be a quicker way. So I find this walking path that goes just straight down the side of this mountain in a very comparable landscape to Barcelona is, You know, like the Hollywood sign, when you picture the surrounding landscape, mm-hmm. it's like rocky, shrubby,
yeah,
kind of, you know, deserty. It's pretty much the same thing. And there's this footpath, you know, you can see the restaurant way below you. There's this footpath that goes, you know, Peter Pan's right off the side of the mountain here. We're like, oh, we'll just take that. That looks like a well-worn trail.
Right.
Halfway through it, it is like way steep. Like you're scaling down this almost on, you know, hands and feet or like hands and knees getting down this place. And our friends are like, where the F are you taking us? I'm like, well, you've been in Spain as long as I have. So, you know that I have no idea where I'm going right now. I just saw a path that went in the direction we needed to go. And at this point, the shrubs are like over us. We can't see where we're going. We have no idea. Literally stumble out of the bushes and we're like directly at the front door of the restaurant we were trying to get to after like an hour of shimmying down this mountain. And that was first place ever at Shishito Peppers. So,
nice.
But it was just funny. Like, no idea where we're going, literally stumble into the road. I'm like, well, no kidding. There's the restaurant, you know, like, but anyway, so Shishito Peppers in Barcelona, Spain. So in Barcelona, they have a church, and I might've actually hit on this before, but it's worth noting again, because it's still in the works right now. They have La Sagrada Familia, which is this giant Catholic church. It was originally designed and construction was started by the artist Gaudi. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
I am not.
I'm sure if you saw some of his works, you would know what it was. But,
probably.
So it's this massive church. It's been under construction for 144 active years.
So almost as long as Michigan road construction.
Yeah, cool. Exactly. Yep. But it's been under construction for 144 years, and it's scheduled for completion in 2026. But you look at it, though, and you're like, yeah, that would take 144 years.
Yeah.
You see it, and it doesn't look – I'll show you a picture of it, but it doesn't look real. You look at it, and it's a very alien-looking building.
Right. I'm curious on who originally like planned it and made the – oh, my gosh.
Like, that doesn't even the middle spire in it yet. You go in that place, and it's like you can't – and it just sticks out of Barcelona. Like,
yeah.
It's just there. There's small buildings, and then it's Sagrada.
So,
but you can't comprehend it. Once you get inside, the columns are massive. They're bigger, as big around as the diameter of your basement, and they go hundreds of feet in the air.
So everyone who originally was on the planning and logistics of that building are generations gone. Like
many.
Many generations gone.
Yeah. Like, look at the detail in the building. The whole building is that level of detail.
That's insane.
Like, it looks like this place was whittled.
Yeah, we'll throw a picture up on that. Log. That one's insane. But yeah, I mean, if Angela gets on my case again about cleaning out the basement, I'll be like, well, are you familiar?
Took Gaudi 144 years to even complete the building.
I'll tell you about a little church in Barcelona. Like, you can't rush perfection.
Oh, that's funny.
Like, this basement will be cleaned out by one of my generations.
Yeah. But yeah, that's – so when we saw it, it was actually a couple of those big spires weren't even completed yet. So – and even with the church being like two-thirds done as far as height.
Yeah.
You're still like in awe. Like, I can't believe it's that freaking tall.
So I feel bad now because I didn't go into any of the ingredients on this one for my fact because I was so focused on
– The office.
The office. That's totally what Shishito said.
Yeah.
That – and I'm like, well, maybe if I don't find a good fact, but I found one that I found interesting, and it's something where, I you know, you appreciate the office as well, so I feel like you would find this interesting. So, do you know who the first cast member for the office was, for the American office? The first one that was officially added to the list.
I'm going to say it wasn't Michael Scott.
That would have been a weird fun fact, where it's like, the main person.
Yeah. Dwight.
No, it was BJ Novak, Ryan the temp.
Really? So, oh, because he's one of the producers.
He's one of the writers.
Yeah, yeah.
So the reason that he was one of the first ones added, so Greg Daniels, who I don't know if you could technically say he created The Office, but he was the showrunner for the American version of The Office. he was inspired by his time at SNL where they had writers and performers, you know, in the same, like a lot of people from the writers' room, if they weren't mm-hmm. on the show, eventually came on the show. Like Seth Meyers is one of the famous ones, Tina Fey.
Yeah.
So he actually made it a point to get writers and actor combos. So do you know how many of the main cast were both writers and performers?
Isn't it like all of the, like the peripheral characters pretty much? Like
there's three other peripheral characters that wrote and starred in the show. And they all, two of them were like almost every episode. One of them was like a highlight ancillary character.
Yeah. Isn't it? Oh gosh. I'm a big Office fan. I don't know why I'm blanking. The redhead.
Nope.
Meredith. Not Meredith. Mm-mm. It wasn't Creed, was it?
You should travel to the annex.
Oh, Kelly Kapoor.
Yep, Kelly. Mindy Kaling was a writer.
Toby.
Paul Lieberstein. And one last one, and this one is not one that resides in the office.
Is he, is it Daryl?
No, it's Moe's.
Really?
Michael Schur, who no way. Not only writer on that, also wrote on Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, helped that become what it is.
Moe's, really.
And was the creator of The Good Place, which was a huge smash mm-hmm. hit afterwards. So.
That's hilarious.
And also, I found this as well. Phyllis, I found a bunch of facts. I don't know why I said I found one. Phyllis was actually a casting agent that kept reading for people. And they were like, well, you're Phyllis.
Yeah,
like
isn't that how most of the characters are on there? Like they're somehow related to production in some way. They might not be writers.
Not all of them, but it is something where there was a lot of natural,
yeah,
you know, progression. And then also apparently John Krasinski on his audition, he was in the waiting room and told this person next to him saying like, whether I get it or not, it's not a big deal, you know, whatever. But say, I'm real worried because I love the British Office and Americanized versions of shows usually mess it up. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm, you know, John, by the way, what's your name? He's like, oh, I'm Greg Daniels. I'm the producer of this.
Yeah.
And so even with that, he made it. So.
Yeah. Wasn't that like Jim's final audition before he's like, I just got to get a day job because it wasn't working out for
him? He's talked about that where that was, if not the last, it was right on the edge.
That's crazy.
So that is pretty interesting. But we'll get into the score after I pause it. All right, let's get into the score on this one. It's pretty incredible that the mild nature, I have this as a 0 on heat. Because it's like, I'm not getting, like, I can taste the flavor of the peppers.
Yeah.
But I don't have
like a spice of the spices in there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any type of burn on there, which is not a bad thing. This is their mild sauce. Mm. They have other ones. Kind of, I posted a thing recently about Roddy from Fire where I'm like, hey, he has mild sauce that can introduce you to the hot sauce world about the flavor that comes with it. But you can also move up in heat and, you know, progress because it's like, all right, I like the flavor that this person creates. Let's see what else they do. This is a similar one where it's like, this gives you a taste of the depth of flavor, the fermentation that Down to Ferment is about. Because mm-hmm. again, they're about fermentation. They make great hot sauce, but their intention is to make more fermented products, not just hot sauce. Mm-hmm. Similar to like Smoky J with Sam sauce, you have, here's the Smoky J. It's mild. Do you want to move up in heat? Because you'll get this kind of flavor, this kind of dynamic creation. It's like, it's nice to have a mild one to show this is the flavor or the ideas that I cook with. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So I had this one as a 90.
I had 84.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because this one.
Pretty high, pretty good.
Pretty high, pretty good. You know, just like Snoop intended. But this one and Smoky J are starting to form in my head. I kind of jokingly have like an orientation pack in my head of like, if someone's like, I want to get into hot sauce, I want to learn about hot sauce.
An orientation pack. That's funny.
Yeah. This is where it's like, all right, well, let's give you a couple that gives you the idea of flavor, lets you taste the pepper, like actually taste the pepper, mm-hmm. and has minimal heat. Like I'm talking zeros and ones on the heat scale.
Yeah.
And this one and Smoky J are two distinctly different. This one, again, very leaning into the Asian cuisine. You know,
it goes so good just on like straight white rice.
Honestly, you make a little rice dish.
Oh, that goes so good.
I was talking about making a like a quinoa fried rice, or just do like something like that.
Yeah.
Throw this in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Throw this in there. Have some of my chicken or shrimp with like nice little shrimp fried rice with,
yeah,
with this. Yeah.
That is really good. I feel like that's one of the higher scores I've given in a long time.
We haven't had as many 90s lately. We've had nothing low, nothing bad.
Yeah.
But it's something where this one, part of the benefit of low heat is how much more flavor you can kind of like dissect. I would like this in like, if you put this with a one of heat,
mm-hmm,
like if you stepped it up just a little bit, I would give it a little
bit. I put it as a one because I feel like a tingle. I'm like, I can feel it trying to.
I have it like as
feather tickling my tongue.
If I have it as a zero because I don't round up. If there's like a 0.5 in heat, I would give it a zero.
Yeah.
I'm not
wrong. Either way, I mean.
Let me try it again.
My mother-in-law might end up in the hospital from this stuff, but.
She's like, ooh.
Yeah.
Like, is this the Pepper X? Is that what they're talking about?
Is this a Pepper X?
Yeah, I don't really get much of any heat. I mean.
I love the shishitos. I can actually taste them in there.
Mm-hmm.
I love the flavor of them. Anytime I go to a restaurant, I always get the shishitos if they're on the menu.
I'd like to do, and not with all peppers, but I'd like to do some, hey, let's try a pepper. Specifically, not, you know, not a challenge like, hey, let's try a whole pod and see how we handle it.
Mm-hmm.
But actually like trying the flavor of the pepper. So even if you cut out the seed and the pith and like, you know,
yeah,
focus on. Like, you know, when we first started this, I never ate a raw habanero. Mm-hmm. I've had stuff with habanero in it, but you talk about the fruitiness, and I'm like, it's always just been hot to me.
Yeah.
Because I never was focused on that, and I wasn't having a habanero done well.
Sure.
So this is one where it's like, I'd be interested to try the shishito, both regular and roasted in, mm-hmm, something, and then having it with this. Because I know the jalapeno. I love jalapenos. It, you know, I like using them in a lot of things, but I have to make it separate from the rest of the family,
yeah,
meal.
The shishitos, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like your family might like these just because they obviously taste like a pepper,
mm-hmm,
but they just have a really unique taste with them. And the way you saute them up, you pretty much just blister them and they're almost like charred.
Yeah.
Like short of charred, but they crisp up really nice. And I mean, dip them in like an aioli or something garlicky or citrusy.
Right. They did post when they talked about this sauce coming out. They did post a video that showed them roasting the shishito. And mm-hmm, I was just like,
God, they're good.
You throw any type of roasted pepper, even High Desert when they were doing the roasted carrots for their sauce. I was like, yep. Yeah, I want that. I want, mm-hmm, and you throw a good charred pineapple. So anyway, that was Down to Ferment. Again, their website and Instagram is both Down to Ferment, with two being the number, not the word. And so downtoferment.com and Down to Ferment for their Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
That was an amazing sauce. Now we're getting to another new sauce from a Asian-focused sauce maker. This is bottle-fed hot sauce, Thai Fire. Now they have the original, and then they have their, was it Green Ghost?
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
So their original is a Thai bird's eye pepper. It has vinegar, Thai bird's eye pepper, coconut palm sugar, cilantro, garlic, lime powder, salt, MSG, citric acid, rice bran oil, white pepper, and xanthan gum. The other one, I think it just replaces it with the mash.
Yeah, vinegar, ghost pepper mash, cilantro.
And then coconut. It has all the other ingredients, but some of them are just a little flip-flop, so I'm sure there was some fine-tuning of that.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I'm excited. That's bird's eye chili, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I'm excited about that one. I don't think we've had, do we have two new peppers today, shishito and bird's eye?
I don't know if we've, I feel like bird's eye we might have had.
Maybe. It's not common.
But definitely not common. It does say a little note on here, introduced to Thailand, this is about the Thai bird's eye chili, introduced to Thailand in the 16th century through Portuguese trade, this pepper is the primary heat source in Thai cuisine. It says Thailand in a bottle.
I actually had one the other day on well, it was on purpose, but. My
someone told you eat a salad and you just ate a Thai bird's eye pepper. It's like it's green. It's
yeah,
a vegetable.
You know, my in-laws brought over. They've got a big garden going. They always grow me a lot of peppers every year. And they threw in one teeny tiny little bird's eye chili, and I'm like, oh, he's so cute. You know,
yeah.
Popped it in my mouth. I'm like, that's hot.
Yeah,
that's wicked.
Yeah, this is an interesting one because it's got the bird's eye chili as the not mild, but as the milder version. And again, bottle fed. BottleFedHotSauce.com and BottleFedHotSauce on Instagram is their handle. This is a nice 5 ounce bottle. This, again, we tried their original, which is a sweet and sour, which did not last in my kitchen at all. That one was amazing. This was, they're out of Ventura, California. Both of these sauce makers also are.
That'd be a good fact tangent to go down. Ventura Boulevard, little Tom Petty.
That would be, I did not go that way.
I didn't either.
Also, this one doesn't have a perforation, so this is going to be a pretty chaotic seal break.
I bet you can guess what direction I went on my fact on this one.
Did you go fire?
No.
Forest fire?
No.
Then I can't guess.
Never
mind. Did you go bird's eye chili?
I went bird's eyes.
Bird's eyes?
Bird's eyes. You were in for a treat. I think this is going to blow your mind.
Was it super bad? Were they saying, these eyes? Good old Michael.
That is one of my favorite scenes.
All right. This isn't going to be a good one because because of the perforation. All right. Let's open this. It's kind of got a more brown consistency. It's got a lot of speckling in there. I see the peppers.
Was there a heat rating on this one?
No heat rating on the bottle. On the website, it just says Scoville heat units 1920.
Interesting.
Also, this is something where you can buy on Amazon. I smell the cilantro. I smell the pepper.
Ooh, I get a lot of cilantro.
I love cilantro.
So do I.
We are lucky enough to have two people on the podcast that are not. Vinegary. Yeah, neither of us are the cilantro genetic.
Cilantro adverse.
Yeah.
That smells phenomenal. I like that.
You give me a cilantro sauce, I'm already in your corner. Now, you do Thai cuisine quite a bit, don't you?
Pre-child, yeah. We would do a lot of like Thai lettuce wraps, stuff like that.
I probably like every couple months I would do like Thai takeout. I'd like to cook more Thai dishes. All right, let's try this. Cilantro's right up front. Heat's good build.
Dude, I love that.
Garlic is there. The Thai pepper, you get a lot of the Thai pepper.
Yeah.
Like both in heat and but also in the flavor. The vinegar, even though it's the number one ingredient, does not really overwhelm that one.
This if you're cilantro adverse.
Cilantro and lime are both coming in.
This one's going to put you in your grave.
Oh, yeah. If you don't like cilantro, this will be a challenge. I still think you should try it.
God, this is good. It's hot. It's got a good heat.
It's crazy going from that mild of a sauce to this because it's not, sweat, insane heat, but it is definitely present.
Oh, yeah.
And it builds. And then now it's like plateaued now within the first, 15-20 seconds. It would be a good taco sauce. This is another one, though, with, I mean, they already said it with Thai cuisine. Let's see. On their website there. So the Thai fire was developed around a family recipe for a dipping sauce known in Thailand as Nam Jim seafood. It pairs beautifully with seafood, as the name implies, but don't stop there. Toss this in soup, salad for some added flair. Captures their own family tradition and delivers them straight to your pantry.
I'm going to get cross-cultural here. So we always make...
I never know if it's going to be cross-cultural or if it's going to be like Tex-Mex Americanized.
Yes.
Okay.
So your answer is yes.
A Thai wet burrito.
Yeah. Well, we always make pozole. Have you ever had that? Like a green chicken pozole?
I have.
Do you know what it is? It's got like the lye fermented corn in there.
Yeah.
Or the lye soaked corn. You always garnish that with, radishes and heavy on cilantro and lime. This into that pozole would be so good.
Well, they have it in a pasta. That would be good.
Yeah.
Also, you could just toss both of these. You could just toss on a chicken wing, and it's just one of those unique flavored chicken wings.
Yeah.
Definitely has good heat to it. Yeah, cilantro and lime. The lime powder is interesting because I don't think we've ever had one with a lime powder.
Mm-hmm.
But they have just a club sandwich or some type of sandwich that would be good as well. I like that they said soups because you think of like if you did like a ramen or some type of soup that needs that drizzle of flavor over top. Mm-hmm. This would be it for me.
Yeah.
I am interested if they go this, this level of heat, and then you have a ghost pepper version, a ghost pepper mash version especially. I'm curious how hot that goes. but the aroma was fantastic on this one. Let me go into my fact for this. So, where do you think I went? Because usually I'm pretty predictable.
Thailand.
Nope. I went with something partly because of this sauce maker. Partly when researching it, I confirmed that I was going to do it because of our other sauce maker, Down to Ferment. And thirdly, because of a conversation I had with Sam from Sam Sauce.
Okay.
I'm talking xanthan gum.
Oh, yeah.
So this one has xanthan gum. Sam and I talked on Instagram recently about how Hot Ones has restrictions where they don't want any gums, any xanthan gum in their sauces that are submitted because they have this idea of like all natural. But xanthan gum is one where it actually is a great option for gluten-free because it's a gluten-free option for that. It, no one really knows, no one's ever looked, at least I have never looked and seen like, well, what is xanthan gum?
Yeah.
So did you know that it's actually created when sugar is fermented, down to ferment,
mm-hmm.
when it's fermented by a type of bacteria called Xanthomonas campestris.
Okay.
When the sugar is fermented, it creates a broth or goo-like substance, which is made solid by adding an alcohol. It is then dried and turned into powder.
I did not know that.
That's it.
I always thought it was like some random, like man-made synthetic chemical.
Oh, and that's why it's not, it should not be part of the, we want this to be an all-natural sauce. It's like, well, it's literally a sugar, fermented sugar.
Sugar.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it doesn't, it avoids any type of gluten option in there as well. But yeah, so xanthan gum.
Interesting. I would have told you that was like some yeah. petroleum. Well,
and then like, in reading it, it's like, oh, it has some essential minerals, but the amount in xanthan gum, you have to take so much.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, you know, you don't want to take too much because it's bad for you. Well, xanthan gum is like, I think Sam said like a teaspoon in a giant batch
yeah.
of xanthan gum just to firm it up. It just, you know, helps solidify. It helps, you know, give it a better consistency.
Yeah.
There's a funny video on, I'm going to reference Try Guys again. Just, I don't know why I've been watching those videos more or something. They had they tried to make ice cream without a recipe.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's one of their shows is without a recipe. They just try to make something with no
yeah.
recipe. And ice cream was one of them. And one of them on the show, I think Keith, who also makes his own hot sauce, mm-hmm. which we haven't tried, but would be worth a try. He put xanthan gum in it, which mm-hmm. they said you can do, but you want to make sure that you're not using it with other stabilizers and things like that. Well, he used like a quarter cup
mm-hmm.
or like a couple tablespoons in a tub of ice cream, in a small thing of ice cream. So it was so gummy that they were chewing. They're like, this is a bubble chewing gum ice cream where they're like, we can't,
it's kind of
it won't dissolve. Yeah. Well, it finished dead last because it was so gross. So it's like, you don't want to use too much and you don't need to. And any worry about, oh, if you have too much of this, same thing with in this sauce, they have a coconut palm sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked and said, look, well, what's the deal with that? And I did read where it's like, yeah, it's a good alternative to refined sugar, yeah. but they said, you don't want to have too much of it. Well, you don't want to have too much of any sugar.
Yeah.
And it's like, just, you know,
yeah.
when people think of something, you have to think of the quantity that's going into it.
Sure.
But yeah, xanthan gum.
That's interesting. I would have never guessed. I would have thought that was like some
just man-made. Just wait till our next one when we go into guar gum. I don't know.
All right. So I went bird's eye. So you probably already know the answer to this. I went into the eyesight of birds.
Mm-hmm. Which I've heard is good.
Birds are notorious for having very, very good eyesight, like some of the best. In the animal kingdom, and there's a phrase or a saying that I'm sure you've heard many times in your life that gives away what animal has the best eyesight in the animal kingdom.
I'm going to guess what is also a Shia LaBeouf movie, Eagle Eye.
Yes. I did not know that.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
It's okay movie. it's during his Transformer Prime age.
Ah.
That's gotcha. When it came out. I think it's got Rosario Dawson in it, maybe.
Okay, I don't know what that is.
You don't know Rosario Dawson?
I don't think so.
You are.
Hold on.
You're maybe, missing out.
Maybe visually. Hang on.
Have you seen Clerks?
No. How do you spell that?
Rosario?
Yeah.
R-O-S-A-R-I-O. You ever seen, what's The Rock with Sean William Scott?
Oh, yeah. I know who that is. I'm a visual guy, man. I don't.
What do you know her from? I'm now curious about what would have been the movie to unlock that.
She's from Men in Black 2, right?
She is from Men in Black 2. That's a weird poll. People don't realize she's in Men in Black 2 usually because she looks a little bit different in there. Also, she's in He's Got Game with an NBA player that turned actor that I will not say.
Never seen it.
Well,
never even heard of
him. He might be the next one that I've used for an episode. We don't know.
That's funny. but yeah, Men in Black 2, great movie. I like that movie. I never saw the third one, but...
No, I never saw the third one. I want to. When I told back when I was a kid, I put on my Christmas list, I wanted the first Men in Black movie on DVD, and my aunt got me Men in Black 2.
Yeah.
So I'm like, great, I have the second one and not the first one. And it was fine. It's good. But... Bit of a buzzkill when you want the original.
Yeah. All right. So Eagle Eyes. You did get it. Eagle Eyes have the best eyesight in the animal kingdom. Not a deep
dive, to counter that, this podcast probably has the worst eyesight in the podcast kingdom.
My eyes. So I have with contacts.
Somehow I have the better eyesight, which I find fascinating.
When my eyes are... In a brand new pair of glasses up to par or brand new pair of contacts up to prescription, my eyesight at best is 20/40, which means at 20, what a normal person, the clarity a normal person has at 20 feet.
Yeah.
No, I'm doing that wrong.
Yeah, I don't know how 20, I don't know how the
scale works. 20, so 20/20 is perfect vision. So
yeah.
At 20 feet, you see the same as everyone else with perfect vision. So you have perfect clarity at 20 feet. I have 20/40, so I see at 20 feet the same clarity of a normal person seeing at 40 feet, if that makes sense. So what a normal person sees at 40 feet, I have that clarity at 20 feet.
That's not great.
It's awful. It's really bad by health.
I need to ask my doctor what, because they never tell me like, hey, here's what your 20/20 score. Do we know what that term is for that score?
I was gonna go into it,
but
eagles are enough. That'll get me, you know, exhausted for the day
because
I get so excited from it. but no, I think it'd be fun to do a deep dive on that. So perfect is 20/20. I have 20/40, which is bad. Eagles have 20/4, which means an eagle sees with perfect clarity at 20 feet what a human sees at 4 feet.
That has perfect clarity. Okay.
Yes. That's freaking nuts. To put that into perspective, an eagle can see an ant. So if we had the eyesight of an eagle, we would be able to see an ant walking on the ground as we're looking down on it from a 10-story building.
Well, you think of it like 4 feet away from me, like I could see an ant. It's like, yeah, there he goes. But at 20 feet, yeah, no way. My kids can. My kids love bugs. My son can't find his shoes that he trips over, but he'll be like,
it's just a guy thing.
He'll be like, there's a rabbit out there. And I'm like, where? And it's like,
yeah,
just like over the hill, like in that tall grass over there. I see the rabbit.
I'm afraid to call out animals now. Like when Courtney and I are like hiking or driving or something, I'm always like, oh my God, look at that buck across the field. You know, she's like, how did you not see the gallon of milk in front of you earlier today? It's the biggest, whitest thing in the fridge. How did you miss that? But you can see that.
I used to be the biggest, whitest thing going through the fridge, but I've lost weight. Now it's the milk.
But yeah, so if we're standing on top of a 10-story building, 24. If we had eagle eyes, we would be able to see an ant walking on a sidewalk at 10 stories, which is freaking nuts.
That is pretty crazy. So I don't know if I told you, when we went tubing a couple weeks ago, there was a bald eagle along the Muskegon River.
Yeah.
And it was just going from tree to tree following us.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's just waiting for us, like a snack. I was like, someone hold up a cracker or something.
Yeah.
Just be like.
You shouldn't do this, but what a lot of people, what's becoming trendy now, thanks to the internets, is people catching fish, throwing them up in the air as high as they can, and eagles very regularly will come down and just pluck them either right out of the air or let them land and then come get them.
Mm-hmm.
So it would not surprise me if the eagle saw you as, hey, look. Some bozos in the water that will throw me fish and just kind of followed you down the river, you know, so you let him down, but you did the right thing.
Yeah. I mean, we weren't going to going full tilt on it. Also, most of the stuff we had was alcohol. So, but I was hoping, I'm like, I wonder if he's just waiting. Like, I hope he comes the whole way. And eventually he stopped.
Yeah.
Also, he probably realized there's more people coming
mm-hmm.
that he can get. But we did see when we were in Maine, a bald eagle actually swoop down and grab a fish.
That's cool.
And go, which is different from Alaska, where Alaska, they're like, they're by the dumpsters. Like, yeah. They're just scavengers, like, yeah, looking for, like, that.
Crows up there. I think it's really neat. So this probably another fact in itself. I should say this one, but I can't contain myself here. So when an eagle carries a fish, and I think this has to do with just power of it, it will carry the fish usually perpendicular. So if an eagle grabs a fish, he'll normally T-bone it. So the eagle's flying north and south. The fish is pointing east and west is what I'm referring to as far as perpendicular.
Yeah.
When an osprey grabs a fish, an osprey is much more lean and sleek than an eagle. An osprey will grab the fish any direction it can, but it will point the fish in line with the way it's flying.
Hmm.
My guess is that has to do with resistance, where an eagle can make up for that in power, where an osprey, being a little bit more lean and not quite as powerful, catching the same size fish is like, well, I'm going to point this in a little bit more aerodynamic direction.
Yeah.
So if you ever see him carrying, see an osprey carrying fish, he's got it pointing with him, where an eagle's just like, well, shit, I'll just fly off with it, you know, T-boned.
Never even thought about that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Pretty neat.
What are you thinking about heat on this one?
I had like 2+3. Somewhere in there.
Yeah, it kind of has a high two.
It's pretty toasty.
Because it does, the pepper definitely presents itself in heat and flavor. So I would say 2+ makes sense. I get a lot of the lime in the aftertaste. I get a lot of the lime.
Yeah.
And cilantro. Cilantro's through and through on this one.
Mm-hmm.
But let's give this one a score. And then we'll do a quick, we're not going to do a full on score and everything with this other one. But I'm curious to try the other one just to see how much hotter it is. And if the flavor changes too much. So we'll just do a quick open taste as we get into it. But I had this one as an 85.
79 for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I love cilantro. This is a great cilantro sauce. This is has a lot of that Thai pepper. I don't know if we have had another Thai pepper sauce. I don't remember one that promoted the pepper as strongly in the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But again, anything above 75 would be one that we would want in our kitchen. His have a standout where we have had ones that lean towards Asian cuisine, but his whole genre is, I mean, it says right on the bottle, fine Asian hot sauce.
Yeah.
And we have a sweet and sour one. Now we have a Thai bird's eye chili one. It's giving you different options for different, where you can make a similar dish, throw different sauces and have unique flavors and dishes in that. So
both the sauces we did today just make me want to go get a rice cooker, set it up in my office.
Yeah. I'm about to
just sit there and just mow on white rice.
I'm about to go camping and I'm like, what Chinese food, Asian food can I do camping? And also
that's easy.
I've already got all I've got is s'mores and hobo pie stuff right now.
Yeah. Stop at PF Chang's. Or stop at Meijer, grab the P.F. Chang's frozen dinners, then just bring a cast and do that over the fire.
Yeah, that's true. Just be like, wait, what are we having? Be like, we're having Chinese food tonight. Angela's not a big Chinese food fan, but she's thinking of like Americanized Chinese food. Like saying she's not a fan of all Asian cuisine would be an overstatement because I don't think she's really given it.
Yeah, that's how Courtney, she loves, the more authentic, the better. If you go hit a very Americanized Chinese food, she's like, very hit or miss on it. She likes some of it, you know, the safe things like orange chicken, which is sugar and orange, but
definitely smells hotter. I smell the mash on that one very clearly.
Okay. That's got the ghost pepper stick to it.
Yeah. So we'll give this a quick try and then we'll
a little bit nervous.
Just it's ramping up. It's again, another empty stomach. The only thing I have in my stomach right now is the protein powder I had post-workout. So, you know, It's doing the heavy lifting on today.
I had the last thing in my stomach was maple fudge from Mackinac Island Fudge Company.
And was that today or yesterday?
Last night for a midnight snack and a block of sea foam. So
let's give this a try. Still has the cilantro and the lime. The overall flavor, interesting, the heat doesn't kick.
No.
On the initial, like the other one. The other one, I feel like the Thai pepper...
It's ramping up, though.
It does build. So these are two...
It's building.
So this is an interesting thing. I don't know if I would say, oh, if you really want to blow the doors off, have this one.
Yeah.
I would say this is an upfront Thai... I'm pointing at it. The original is more of an upfront heat. Mm-hmm. And then you're just kind of riding that wave.
Yeah.
While the other one is building. And I think as you have more spoonfuls or as you put it on a dish, this one will build more to push it into that three range.
Yeah.
But
it's getting hotter for sure.
Yeah.
But very similar flavor profile.
But it smelled scarier than it tastes.
Yeah. You can taste a little difference in the peppers.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say 90% of it is still the same flavor.
And I love ghost pepper. Like, we've had a lot of ghost pepper sauces that we've enjoyed. And so I would have thought before this, like, well, which ones are you going to like? Oh, probably the ghost pepper one.
Yeah.
I prefer the bird's eye chili one between the two because it's unique in that I don't have a whole lot of bird's eye chili sauces that I eat regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And it does fit. I feel like it fits better.
Mm-hmm.
They both taste great. But that one I think does fit better with what you're trying to do. But yeah, my tongue is burning now like the initial of the Thai pepper was.
Yeah.
But then it faded. Mm-hmm. So what was faded in the original sauce is still there. Interesting. So yeah, either one of these are good. You can go by like which pepper you want to have the flavor of. You can go by if you want that initial kick of heat or if you want that lingering build. If you want to give this to someone and you want to see them react, and it depends on if you want them to do an immediate like, oh my gosh, or if you want them to go, oh, it's not that bad, and then watch them eat their words as like they start to be like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, depending on their tolerance.
The mouth closed inhale.
If you're a chili head, you're going to drink this one. But if it's someone that's more in the mild to medium range, this one will sneak up on you.
Yeah. Both really good though.
Both really good.
All of them this morning. Very good. This is a good morning.
We've had a very productive morning. And now I'm going to go camping. I think I'm going to bring, because I did it last time when I went camping, I'm going to bring the mango habanero hot sauce and throw that on some s'mores.
Oh, nice.
A little mango on my s'mores. And then I'm going to bring the previous week's black and blueberry habanero, a little bit of that. Just do some fruit ones.
Yeah.
I'm going to make s'more or campfire nachos this week.
I'm trying to think what that is.
Graham cracker?
Yeah.
Well, the essential s'more ingredients, graham cracker, marshmallow, and chocolate, but you put it in like an aluminum pan.
Yeah.
Put it on the fire, let that melt, and you eat them like nachos.
Dude, I never thought of that.
I also, for added variety, regular marshmallows and marshmallow fluff, hot fudge on top of chocolate bars, and cookie dough bits. So the cookie dough bits. today I am. I'm doing that tomorrow.
Dude, that sounds awesome.
Well, I'm going to make it, and then we'll see how many bites I can get before the family devours it.
Yeah.
It reminds me of like a natural version of, there's the thing online right now that's, you on a sheet tray, you do graham cracker, chocolate, marshmallow, and then you put raw cookie dough and you kind of like cover the top and you bake it. And the cookie bakes, and then in the middle is marshmallow and chocolate, and the graham cracker keeps it sealed.
So. I feel left out. Everyone's camping this week except for me. Both my brothers are leaving today. You're leaving.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going like an hour away or 40 minutes away.
Doesn't matter.
Farther
than me.
Different campground. So we'll see what it's all about. But yeah, that's our episode. A very solid morning for trying sauce. A lot of successful sauces. Again, down to ferment, two being the number, and bottle fed hot sauce. That's their handle on their website and Instagrams. And just a couple of special thanks. Special thank you to Summit 6 Design for any graphic or logo design needs. They designed our logo. Just reach out to them. Special thank you to these guys at Down to Ferment and Bottle Fed because they had these new sauces and they, asked us if we wanted to try them. And it's always exciting to try new sauces or try sauces that have, been upgraded or changed. Or Drunk Chick Craft Sauces had the situation where they upgraded to an all-natural sauce. So we always want to try to give the sauce makers their best foot forward if they did change the recipe. But these ones are just new recipes, and they're all quality. So
yeah,
thank you to them. And thank you to everyone who's listening. However you listen, we do appreciate you. And then follow us on Instagram at The Heat Source Podcast for all updates. Send us a message on there or email us at theheatsourcepod@gmail.com for any feedback, requests, or other comments. And even though this episode comes out after the Illinois show, we are headed to the Illinois show this weekend. So this is the future and we enjoyed it, but we will.
The show is great, but we're going there this weekend.
If you missed it, this episode should be coming out the week after our Illinois recap episode. So go back to that if you missed it to see what we thought of the Illinois show and who we saw and you know, really our first experience as a podcast going to it. We went to the Boston one last year, but that one I went to and still we're kind of figuring out what this whole thing was. So
yeah,
pretty exciting. But yeah, otherwise we will talk to you next week.
See ya.
Today we're trying That's What Shishido. And today we're trying That's What Shishido Said by Down to Ferment. And today we're trying That's What Shishido Said by Down to Ferment.
That's what she said.